Good morning to you. We're here to remember a very special man, family to many gathered here, and friends to others, and some a bit of both to others. I put myself in that category. Though I wasn't physically related to Brother Bill, he was my brother in Christ, and I count it a privilege to be here with you this morning to remember his life, because it was a life well lived and one that's worth emulating in many respects. I want to begin by reading his obituary and then making some remarks based on some of the family's reminiscences. His dates: he was born February 5th, 1924, and he went to be with the Lord on September 24th, 2012. William W. Wesley, 88, of Birdsboro, passed away September 24th, 2012 at 8:21 p.m. in Spruce Manor Nursing Center, where he resided since April. Born in Robeson Township on February 5th, 1924, he was the son of the late Edward J. Wesley Sr. and the late Mary C. Glass Wesley. William was a self-employed stonemason and worked in the janitorial department of Twin Valley School District for 20 years. I went to 5th and 6th grade in the Robeson Elementary, so I remember seeing him at work there. He was a member of the Grace Gospel Chapel in Gilbertsville, where he was the song leader. He loved to sing, fish, and preach the gospel. And may I say, I'm sorry that we're not geared for congregational singing this morning. But then I was thinking about it, I couldn't lead the singing as enthusiastically as he did anyway. So it's just as well, I suppose. But we are going to read some of his favorite hymns. But it says he also served in the U.S. Army during World War II, as you noted by the photo on the screen there and other photos that have been cycling through. Surviving are a sister, Leona M. Wesley, now Sheldon. She's the wife of Frederick C. Shelton of Moton, a nephew of Paul Wesley of Moton, two nieces, Vera Murphy of Mount Penn and Linda Frankoviak of Reading, two great nephews, Andy Getz of Birdsboro and Derek Frankoviak of Exeter Township, and a great niece, Heather L. Wilka of Birdsboro. And of course, then there are details given about the funeral service. But often an obituary doesn't really capture the spirit of a person. You get the bare facts of a life, of course, but it doesn't really grasp for us the personality. And I was grateful that Heather was able to put together some reminiscences of the family on his behalf. She says in this email to me, "For most of Uncle Bill's life, he spent serving the Lord. He got saved in 1942, or maybe a couple years before that. While we're not sure of the exact date, we are sure of the event, because many times I heard the Brother Bill, or Uncle Bill as he's called, refer to his faith in the Lord Jesus, that was his hope. He was confident that if this day came, if the Lord Jesus didn't come before he died, because the Lord Jesus is going to return according to the Bible, Brother Bill was confident, shall we say, that he was going to be with the Lord, not because of what he had done, but because of what the Lord Jesus did at the cross, dying for his sins and rising again. They continue. They say he was a dedicated man to the Lord and sharing the gospel to all that would listen. His earlier years were spent in the U.S. Army in World War II as a medic. After the Army, he was a stonemason, a gift that he had been taught by his father and grandfather. And the father and grandfather built the old part of the Robeson Lutheran Church in Plowville, which, if you've been by there, you know, is a very beautiful building. So that's quite a commentary on their skill and on the honorable trade that they passed on to Uncle Bill. And he worked in the custodial service at Robeson Elementary School of the Twin Valley School District for 20 years. And for years, they say, he shared the tradition of the greens business that his family, the Wesleys, had carried on for more than 60 years. He retired from the family business about 10 years ago, and up to last year, 2011, he made handmade Christmas wreaths for special folk. Well, again, there's much more we could say about him and much more that we will say during the service, but I want to read a few verses from two of his favorite books in the Word of God. He particularly loved the book of Psalms, and that's where I want to begin, reading Psalm 17 and verse 15. It says, "And as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." And there the psalmist is speaking about the hope he has of one day seeing God and not being afraid to see God, because he's seeing God in righteousness. He's being counted as a righteous person before God. Now again, Uncle Bill would tell you if he were here today, because I've heard him preach the gospel many times, and he would tell you that having a righteous standing before God comes solely through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't manufacture our own righteousness. It has to be by trusting in Christ. But the second part of that verse I found particularly poignant, considering the last year of Uncle Bill's life. It says, "I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." You see, we see Uncle Bill's remains here, and he was much diminished physically from what he had been. He lost a lot of weight during his illness, and of course his mind was failing during the last year. I got to visit him with Heather a few weeks ago, and it was remarkable that I wasn't surprised he didn't remember me, but I'll tell you what he did remember. I said to him, "Brother Bill," I said, "the Lord Jesus loves you." Do you know what he said to me? Just as quick as that, he said, "That's for sure." And then I started to read to him the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he began quoting it, trying to quote it as I was going through. And I could hear him getting phrases of that psalm. And then I started quoting well-known words from John 14 about the Lord Jesus telling him that he goes to prepare a place for the believer in the Father's house. And as I quoted those verses, he quoted them along. And I thought, isn't this wonderful? He doesn't remember me, that's fine. But he remembers the Lord. He remembers the promises of the Lord. And the things that are most important in life, they say, are the last things that one forgets, even when ill like that. And his confidence was in the Lord right up to the end of his life. The Savior was holding on to him. Even though he was failing, the Lord Jesus never fails. And he's promised in sickness or in health, the Lord Jesus says to the one who knows him as their Savior, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So even in his illness, it was a beautiful thing to consider, this faith in the Lord that the man had had, and this walk with the Lord through the years, that even as he was so weak, was still so very precious to him. But you know, one day, Uncle Bill's going to be able to say the second half of this verse, "I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Because as I mentioned before, the Lord Jesus is coming again. That was a truth that Uncle Bill held very dear. And the Bible says that when the Lord Jesus comes again, for those who've received him as Savior, there's going to be a great change. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, our bodies are going to be changed into glorified bodies, fit to be in heaven forever with the living and true God. And so there's a wonderful future ahead. But you say, Uncle Bill wasn't able to live up to the point where Jesus returns. Ah, but the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. It will be no problem for the God who created Bill Wesley in the first place to raise him and recreate him anew in a glorified body and make him part of that new creation where God will shine as all in all. One of the hymns that Uncle Bill loved so much was, "Lord Jesus, I love thee." You may know it as, "My Jesus, I love thee." The wording is slightly altered in the hymnal we use, but I think for the better. It says, "Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine, my rock and my fortress, my surety divine." What confidence in those words. Bill rested on the rock of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Another hymn he loved said, "I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me." He says, "My gracious Redeemer, my song shall be now. 'Tis Thou who art worthy, Lord Jesus, 'tis Thou." Another book he loved was the book of Ephesians. I want to read a few scriptures from Ephesians to you from the second chapter of that book, Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. Ephesians 2 verse 1, reading in the Word of God, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, Uncle Bill was not born righteous, because none of us are born righteous. Even godly King David said, "I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity." We have sin tainting us from our birth, and we grow up to demonstrate it. No one has to teach us to be disobedient. No one has to teach us to be selfish. No one has to teach us to be unkind or mean to others. We as human beings, as sinners, exhibit those things naturally. And that's what it speaks about here. Those who were dead in trespasses and sins. That once described my life. It once described Bill Wesley's life. But in the early 40s, as I mentioned in the family reminiscence, he came to faith in the Lord Jesus. He came to see that there's one who could make him alive. Because our sins separate us from our God. Not only do they result in physical death, but they also bring about spiritual death, a separation between our Creator and ourselves. And there was a time when Uncle Bill passed from death unto life, when he went from being in a state of spiritually dead before God to being alive before God. This happened by faith in the one who could make him alive, the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture goes on to say here, "In which you once walked according to the course of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." And all we have sinned, the Bible says. We're all sons of disobedience before we meet the Lord Jesus. We don't want to do the will of God naturally. "Among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." So we were children, and Uncle Bill was too, who deserved the wrath of God. We deserve punishment for how we live, for breaking God's commandments, for lying, for stealing, for cheating, for being unkind to others, for putting ourselves first, for ignoring God for much of our lives. So many things we do in disobedience. But I love verse 4, which says, "But God." You see, with all human failure and all human sin, then God steps in. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus." So already the scripture is saying here that to the one who accepts God's mercy and says, "Yes, I see you love me, God. You loved me so much that though I didn't deserve it, though I deserved wrath, I deserved punishment from God, the Son of God came from heaven, even the Lord Jesus Christ, and died on the cross to take my wrath, to take my punishment, to take the wrath for me, so to speak. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, as he says in the neighboring book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. God in his mercy sent his Son to shed his precious blood on the cross and die for us, to pay the penalty we owed. But then he rose again, and in his resurrection, he extends new life to the one who puts their faith in him. Because Paul says, already he's raised us up and made us sit in heavenly places. Now, when he was writing those words, he was down here on earth. But he had the confidence. "It's just like I'm sitting in heaven right now, in God's presence," said the Apostle Paul. And Uncle Bill knew that experience. Many a times on a Lord's Day morning, he would come to the chapel in Gilbertsville. He would remember the Lord Jesus in a simple way with us, as we took bread and took a cup and thought about the one who laid down his body as a sacrifice for us and shed his blood. And many a time he would get up and pray and thank the Lord for saving him. Thank the Lord for his son. Thank the Lord for what he did. Or often he would give out a hymn speaking of these truths. But it's really summed up for us in verses 8 and 9. For by grace ye have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, when we, if we could peer into heaven and see Uncle Bill and the rest of the souls of those who've trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, there's not a one of them that would say, I'm here because of my goodness. I'm here because of what I've done. They'd all say, no, no, not what I did, but what God did in Christ. Notice what I read there. It says that salvation is a gift. It's the gift of God. Now, how do you get a gift at Christmas time or at your birthday? Do you open up your gift and you say, oh, look at that lovely watch. That's a nice watch. Let me pay you something for that. Would you do that if someone gave you a gift? I mean, you could offend the giver trying to do that, couldn't you? The person would say, no, I got you this gift because I love you. I care about you. I didn't mind spending a lot of money on you because you're important to me. And think of what the Lord has done. Think of the gift He's given. That He loves us so much that He would send His only Son to die on the cross for us, to save us. And to rise again, to offer us new life. Now, Uncle Bill took that gift decades ago, and he never regretted doing it. And he lived to show the change in his life, the change wrought by the Lord Jesus. There's another hymn that says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful truth that is. The Lord Jesus, when he saves someone, changes someone. He gives you new appetites, new desires, and new hope. You want to be with the Lord. And you know someday you will be with the Lord. And that is where Uncle Bill is today. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, says 2 Corinthians 5. But I'd be remiss if I wouldn't ask you to consider today, at such an occasion as this, if it were you lying there, if it were your remains, where would you be? Some here would be able to say, well, I'd be with the Lord too, because I'm depending on the Lord Jesus and what He did on the cross for me. I've received Him as my Savior. I've taken that free gift from God. I've said, yes, God, not me, but Christ. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. But there might be some of you that wouldn't be able to say that. And you say, where would I be? Well, we don't have to be left in doubt. Uncle Bill preached it many times himself. That to the person who goes out of this life without the Lord Jesus as their Savior, all that's left for such a person is an eternity in hell. That's all you can expect outside of Christ. Thankfully, we don't have to worry about Uncle Bill in that regard. He's saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what of you? The time to decide is not when you die. Then it's too late. The time to decide is here on earth. Come to the Lord Jesus while He may be found. Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him you need to be saved. Tell Him you want to come in and change your life. He says no matter what we've done, He'll forgive. He'll save. He'll create us anew. May you find the faith that our dear departed brother Bill Wesley had. Now for those of us who know the Lord Jesus, it's a glorious truth of the Bible that Jesus is coming. And although we're shortly to take the remains of our dear brother, and to put them in a grave. We know that's a temporary arrangement. We know someday the Lord Jesus is going to come and even open that grave and raise our dear brother. And as our psalm said, then shall I be satisfied when I awake with eye likeness. Right now, Bill is gazing on the Lord Jesus' face and seeing Him as he's never seen Him before. But he's going to enjoy Him further still in the future with a glorified body. That work isn't complete yet because God's only going to do that when He brings all of His people in through resurrection. Thanks be to God for the great gift we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to pray with you now and then I'll turn it over to the funeral staff here for what's next. Father, we're thankful for Uncle Bill. What a precious man of God he was to us, how kind in many respects, how friendly, how encouraging. I don't ever remember coming to the meeting and seeing him down and visiting him in his home. It was so often an encouraging experience for us. We're thankful, Father, that although our dear brother was very sick the last year, we're thankful he's suffering no more. We're thankful, rather, that he's rejoicing with Thee. And we just pray, Father, that through his life, through his example, through his testimony, that someone here, too, would consider their own life, perhaps more than one, and that they, too, would come and say, I want Bill Wesley's Savior. I want the joy and the peace and the hope that he had, which are to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the Lord Jesus would be honored by what we've said here. And we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would comfort the family and friends as only He can. We ask this in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.